This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now, your host, Bill Watson.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another international telecast of the Armor of God, going out to now over 40 countries throughout the world. It's good to have all of you with us once again. You know, in your Bible, it describes and illustrates that many people who came into contact with Jesus Christ through his public ministry, well, were quite surprised and astonished in many respects, especially over the fact of his self-assurance, his confidence. As a matter of fact, in the book of Matthew, chapters 5 through about 7, many of you are familiar with this portion of Scripture, the Beatitudes. I affectionately call it the Attitudes to Be. It's quite a dissertation there of Jesus publicly presenting some very good fundamentals that are essentially foundational to the Christian religion and theology that he shared with so many during his 3.5-year ministry. Well, those individuals who witnessed Jesus presenting all of that information there in chapters roughly around chapter 7 toward the end, given their reaction to exactly how they were affected by his presentation. And you can't help but to notice that their reaction was quite surprising. Here they said that they were astonished at the authority by which he spoke. And certainly it was something that they saw right off the bat. It was noticeably different compared to the scribes of their day, because it seemed like he came across as, well, someone who knew just exactly where he stood with God. There was something that was refreshing about him. He spoke as though he knew what he was speaking about. And frankly, when Jesus spoke, representing God, whom he did come to represent, and spoke the things that he did about God, well, you know what, friends? Things did indeed happen, and people recognize that. I have a question. How did Jesus ever acquire a relationship with God of that sort, of that quality? As a matter of fact, he was so intimate with God that he called God his Father. How does one get to the point where a relationship with God can be characterized so intimately like that? Well, I'll tell you. There was a key element that Jesus used that was a cohesion. It was the mortar in his relationship with God. Oh, there were additional ingredients in developing that relationship, in maintaining that relationship, but don't underestimate the value of what I'm about to share with you that played a major part in allowing him to have that relationship with God, that afforded him the feeling, the emotional and mental comfort level whereby he would call God his Father. Do you know what that was, my friends? He prayed regularly. That's right. He prayed regularly. There was a very important key to his relationship. He always talked with God. He was constantly in communications with God, his Father, and attempted to try to characterize him to us in that way as well. But we're going to talk a little bit about prayer today, and I want to spend the rest of the program doing that. But before I do, as it is our custom here on the Armor of God, I'd like to share with you our offer. We have, again, and I want to emphasize, a free offer for your consideration. A booklet titled, How to Be More Effective in Your Prayer Life. A brand new booklet, as a matter of fact, my friends, that we'd like to get into your hands, along with an audio presentation titled, The Importance of Prayer. About a 1-hour presentation on the mediums of both cassette and or CD disc. Let the operator know which format you would prefer, and we'll get that off to you as soon as we can. All you've got to do is dial 888-578-8791. And don't forget, you see our website there. To hit us on our website, especially for those of you internationally over there in Europe, Middle East, and perhaps in Northern Africa, you can hit us on our website at www.com. cgi.org. There's a lot more things that are available there on our website for your perusal and serious consideration in hopefully enhancing your relationship with God. But again, let me remind you, we have this free offer. I want to emphasize free. Nobody's going to be giving you a call. All you've got to do is dial that number shown there on your screen at 888-578-8791. Now, back to this program topic on prayer. We're talking about prayer. You know, prayer is powerful. It's powerful stuff, my friends. As a matter of fact, it's so powerful that here in the United States, we put a day, that is, we set a day aside and label it a National Prayer Day. Oh, yes, that's right, my friends. Speeches are given by talk show hosts on radios. They set aside some time. Well-known politicians, they go public along with many ministers and televangelists. They go public appealing for God's blessings and thanking God of blessings in the past. Even many common folk, that is, blue-collar workers, cab drivers, painters, construction guys, and even bellhops, oftentimes are motivated from time to time to perform charitable works. Go down and help out there at the Salvation Army or Goodwill to those who are less fortunate to bring them a little bit of happiness. But you know, it's amazing. It is just amazing because nothing seems to change. There are still high-speed chases throughout our cities. Crime still continues to climb. We've got robberies, murders. There's mugging still continuing. Pedophiles, they continue to offend. Families, yes, families also continue to separate. And in some cases, even worse, divorce, causing our children to have to make decisions and choices that oftentimes they're far too young to be making. Celebrities are transgressing the public trust even, with violations that range from murder to perversions like pedophilia, and spending so much time on our television sets or space in our newspapers and magazines about how they're doing in their court battles that seem to go on and on and on. They last for years, it seems. And now, even men and women of authority are betraying our confidence. We find policemen hooking up with organized crime, and we find priests and ministers involving themselves in all kinds of perversions, from pedophilia to homosexuality, and even our teachers, and female teachers at that, predators, sexual predators, in the day that we're now living, finding our teachers violating so much of our trust with our children. It's amazing what we're seeing today in our newspapers. You know, friends, in our Bible, and I'd like to turn there for a moment to an ancient document by a writer, a prophet of old named Hosea. That's right, my friends. Hosea the prophet in chapter 4 had quite a bit to say, as a matter of fact, to the nation of Israel at the time that he wrote his words here in this book. Now, Israel was the northern 10 tribe section that I'm talking about here. The brothers to the south, Judah, was a separate nation with separate kings and a separate capital known as Jerusalem. Many of you are well aware of that. Israel to the north was made up of about 10 tribes. They had their own separate kings and their own separate capital city, Samaria. This prophet Hosea, who spoke at the time when actually Israel, the northern 10 tribes, were on a rebound. They were on the ascent. They were making up actually some lost time. They had lost a lot of property to their brothers, the Jews, who had beat them up over the years preceding and along with some other hordes in the neighborhood. But nevertheless, we're on now a rebound. And they were on a new ascent to greatness as far as their little, what you could say, Middle Eastern country was concerned. And Hosea comes on the scene telling them, of all things, the sky is going to fall. That's right. And as a matter of fact, unfortunately, Hosea died, frankly, before a lot of what he said was going to come to pass came to pass. So needless to say, many of those in the population of Israel at the time probably relegated him to nothing but a false prophet, a liar, and perhaps at best some kind of a chicken little doomsayer that came and went and they were glad when he was gone. But nevertheless, and I want to mention this to you, my friends, because I find it very curious that we here in the United States have adopted this document this Judeo-Christian document as the very definitive word of God. And if we do, which we do, it would serve us well, don't you think, to listen to the words that you're about to read by this prophet Hosea? Simply because, I'll tell you what, when you read what I'm going to share with you here in a minute, you will, as I can see, the similarities of today's events going on right here in the United States, throughout some perhaps other, what you could say, British Commonwealth nations like Australia, Canada, New Zealand, and areas of the world that my friends identify as recipients of great blessings and do have a lot of responsibility to God. Listen to what this prophet Hosea has to say about these very things that are very similar to what you're reading in your Bible. And like I said, would do us well to listen. Here it is, chapter 4. Listen to this. Hear you the word of the Lord, you children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy with the inhabitants of the land. That's right. He has a controversy with all the inhabitants of the land. It doesn't matter what race you are. In this particular case, even in Israel's time, there were strangers among them. And God had a controversy with all the inhabitants, my friends. That's right. And he says here, this is the reason why, because, verse 1, Hosea 4, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Now look at this, verse 2, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing, committing adultery, they break out and blood touches blood. That's right. There is no knowledge of God in the land. And don't get me wrong. I know we've got a lot of religion in the land. We've got a lot of religion here in the United States of America. We've got a lot of religion over there in Great Britain. There's a lot of religion going on in Australia and even in Canada. And we've got a lot of churches on church corners, my friends. But what I'm asking is, what difference does it make? How many of us really have relationships with God? Because, see, the reason is, and I ask that, and I've got good reason too, the fact is verse 2 seems to describe our day and age. People are swearing, they're committing adultery, they're murdering, blood is touching blood. I mean, you can see these things on your television, listen to them on your radio, read them in your newspapers, and you will, I'm sure, agree that there are a lot of things that were going on right here in Israel that today are going on in the United States of America far too much. We even export it in our movies to hopefully attempt to influence and entertain people by killing them on film over and over again. Throwing them off buildings, chopping their heads off. I mean, it's amazing, my friends. Verse 3, it says here, therefore shall the land mourn, and rightly so, especially when people find what you could say entertainment out of the pain and misery of other people. But let me drop down for the sake of time here to verse 6. Listen to this. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me. God intended that nation to be an example to other nations. Just like we, who are recipients of great blessings, and God has blessed America, God has blessed Great Britain, the greatest commonwealth of nations the world and the history of mankind has ever seen. America, the United States of America, one of the greatest, if not the greatest nation in the history of the world, my friends. Recipients adopting the very definitive word of God right here as this Judeo-Christian Bible is. I mean, how many religions are there in the world? Don't you find it curious that we adopt out of Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and all these other religions that we could have adopted, we adopt this Judeo-Christian document as the definitive word of God? I say, my friends, since we have and we did, we ought to listen to what this ancient prophet has to say and apply it to our day and age today, because there's a lot to learn here, my friends, about what the prophet Hosea said to these people some 2,700 years ago. Listen to it. He goes on here. He says, seeing you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. Verse 7, listen to this now. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. That's right. As materialism and prosperity increases, it seems people drift from God. They put their faith in their technologies, in their war machines. They put their faith in themselves. There's so much faith in the medical profession, it's pitiful in some respects, my friends. Not that doctors don't have their place, don't get me wrong. Certainly they do. But you look at some of the things that people have their faith in to provide them the securities that they're looking for, be it their jobs, be it money, be it their war machines that protect their lands, and rightly so, this statement is very cogent to what Hosea saw even in his day 2,700 years ago. Listen to this. Therefore, verse 7, latter part, therefore will I change their glory into shame. My friends, there's shame. There are shameful things on the internet. There are shameful things going on in our families. There are shameful things going on in the relationships with people. There are shameful things going on in conversation between people. There are shameful things going on between racial stocks of people, especially here in the United States and to lesser extents in Canada, where there are different ethnicities, multiple ethnicities, that are dealing with shameful things on the way certain individuals treat other individuals. There are shameful things going on in the lives of the managers of our lands, namely our politicians. Oh yes, my friends, there are even shameful things going on now, of all things, with sports heroes and icons, dealing with gambling and cheating, and now even drugs like steroids that are happening on a rather regular, far too much regular basis. There are shameful things, my friends, going on in the world. And you know why? Do you have any idea why that there are such shameful things going on? Frankly, my friends, a lot of it is due to the fact that people do not have a relationship with God. They've got all kinds of religion. I've already said that. We've got more religion coming out of our ears and churches that we can shake a stick at than we know what to do with, my friends. And you know it as well as I do. But just because you go to church, and just because you hear a lot of good music, and you raise your hand up, you know, and you close your eyes, and you think you're in worship with God, the question is, how does that have a bearing on your relationship? Because if all you're doing is feeling good about this and that when you go to church on that particular day, be it a Sunday or a Saturday or a Friday if you're Islamic, what good is it if you don't have those things helping you to enhance your relationship with God? And you see, my friends, my point is today, you cannot have a good, strong relationship with God unless you take time to talk with Him. How do you build relationships with anybody, for that matter? How do you build relationships, my friends? You talk with people, don't you? You talk. That's what God wants you to do. I can tell you for sure, in understanding the will of God, which God wants us to understand in our personal lives, what His will is for us, that one thing He wants and desires great for us is very simple, my friends. He wants to talk with us. He wants you to talk with Him, my friends. And you develop relationships with God by doing that very thing, taking time to talk with Him. And what is that? It's prayer. That's how you talk with God. You pray. This booklet, my friends, How to Be More Effective in Your Prayer Life, needs to be obtained by you. You need to dial that 888-578-8791 number, get this free offer. In this book, there are some points to take under some serious consideration. You will see that these points, if you do indeed follow them, will help to enhance and improve your prayer life without question. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that your prayer life wouldn't be improved by understanding what these points bring to your mind. It's a small book, 13 pages, can be read in just one sitting, and which on page 12 and 13 leave you with an outline for a prayer. And I may dare say here, you are probably well aware of the outline that is used at the end of this booklet, because it's an outline that Jesus Christ laid down in the Bible. And many of you, if I told you what that prayer is, would say, oh, I know that by heart. But I challenge all of you to consider the fact that I don't think you really know what that prayer really has to say. You need to get this booklet. And I'll not belabor the points on this booklet. I'll let you get the lowdown on it when you obtain the free offer that we're offering by dialing that 888-578-8791 phone number. In the meantime, I'd like to go ahead and provide you with some additional points. Some additional points for your consideration that I would like you to keep in mind in addition to these particular points that the booklet will bring to your mind. And the first one we've kind of already touched on. and that is to know God's will. It's important for you to know God's will. In the book of Ephesians, it points out that understanding God's will is critical to your relationship, developing a relationship with God. And there's no way you're going to develop an understanding of what God's will is in your life unless you take some time with God. And that means you're probably going to have to stop and take some time out, maybe an hour or so a day, maybe not watch as much television, maybe need to get up a little bit earlier before you go to work so that you can take some time to read and to study, as pointed out in 2 Timothy, where you're told that you need to study the Word to show yourself approved. How else are you going to understand God's will, you see? As a matter of fact, understanding God's will is so important. It's pointed out here in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 14. I want to show you how important this particular item is in your prayer life. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. That's how important knowing His will is. There's contingencies here, my friends. It's important you take that time. Another point that I'd like you to consider when considering on how to enhance and develop a better prayer life and relationship with God is to believe God. Have faith in God. In the book, as a matter of fact, of Hebrews over here, in chapter 11 and in verse 1, you will see that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's how positive God wants you to be when coming to Him and developing the relationship that He is offering you. Dropping down to verse 6, we're told and assured that without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So it's important, my friends, that we must believe God, have faith in God. Also, in addition, I'd like to give you another point here. To be sincerely persistent, my friends, in your prayer life. Consider Jesus on that night He was betrayed, when He was sweating so much it was described like great droplets of blood coming from Him. Three times He went to the Father, appealing to Him for reconsideration and for strength as He began to face His ultimate destiny of dying for humankind. A great lesson that we're shown there in Luke 22, as well as the story in Luke 18 about the unjust judge and the widow, and how he, the judge, conceded, that is, to the widow, who he said if he doesn't give her what she wants, she's going to wear him out. Another lesson to take to heart in that we need to be sincerely persistent in our prayer life. And of course, the fourth point that I'd like to leave with you here in conjunction with the booklet that I hope you get is to understand that we need to obey God and in humility and fear. Obey God in humility and fear. The book of Psalms, we're told that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. Peter tells us that God resists the proud, gives grace unto the humble. And if you don't think God doesn't expect expectations, you need to read the book of Romans, chapter 6, specifically, where we're told that you are a servant to whom you serve. And if you serve unto yourself, your own appetites, you're told there at the end of that particular book in chapter 6, verse about 23, you're going to die. Therefore, if you live, you live unto God, you're going to live eternally, because that's the gift of God. And then don't forget this last point I want to leave you with, my friends. And that is, when you do go to God, always remember to defer to the name of Jesus Christ. Ask in His name. It's so very important that you go to God, and when in so doing, approaching Him on that sea of glass, that you do use and invoke the name of Jesus Christ, as pointed out there in John chapter 16. Let me summarize in case you forgot about what I'm talking about here. These five points, in conjunction with the points of the booklet, I want you to keep in mind, my friends. Understand God's will in your life. Believe God. Have faith. Be sincerely persistent. Obey God in humility and fear. Ask in Jesus Christ's name, my friends. This will put power. It will put power in your prayers without question. And last but not least, my friends, always pray for results.
There's no doubt about it, my friends. Today's program was a home run from many different perspectives, but in principle, the necessity of prayer. Bill Watson has shared with you very vital points. But beyond it, Jesus Christ himself set us an example of the importance of prayer in Luke the 6th chapter in verse 12. Following a great miracle of a healing on the Sabbath day, it says in verse 12, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God." Friends, have you ever pulled an all-nighter in prayer to God for some situation or difficulty in your life, some desire to be connected and empowered through him through prayer? Then you will follow Christ's example. Furthermore, follow his teaching that he shared with his disciples in Luke the 18th chapter in verse 1. "And he spake a parable," it reads, "unto them to this end, for this purpose, that men ought always to pray and not to faint," not grow weary, even when sometimes the answer is not yes, but no, or not now. We must learn to be fortified, and actually, we must learn to follow the 5 points that Bill shared with us in today's program. Quickly reminding you of those 5 points. Number 1, understand God's will in your life. The Bible reveals that you must understand His will. Number 2, believe God, that is, have faith in God, confidence in Him. Number 3, be sincerely persistent, like the importuning widow that Jesus Christ talked about in Luke 18. Don't give up. Number 4, obey God in humility and fear. Don't take the approach, "Well, you know, I prayed to God and I've got this special relationship with him, and so I just know I have it going on." No, have humility and respect and reverence. And number 5, ask in the name of Jesus Christ. You must ask in his name, for everything is done by his authority and in his name. These 5 points, coupled with the material that we're offering in today's program, the booklet, How to Be More Effective in Your Prayer Life, and the sermon tape by Bill Watson entitled The Importance of Prayer. Both of these items are absolutely free to you when you dial toll-free to 1-888-578-8791 or hit us up at the website at www.cgi.org. Till next time, I'm Bronson James for the Armor of God, reminding you to put on the whole armor of God, which includes prayer, that you'll be able to stand.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.